Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns. Now, first off, I'm going to preface this whole episode by saying, yes, I have had a cold and my voice sounds a little bit ridiculous. And I am recording this anyway, rather than using one of my pre-recorded episodes, just because it's a little bit more current, I guess, in my mind at the moment. And it's something that I think is really important. And so, yeah, I just kind of want to talk about it now. Now, the other thing that I'm going to preface this episode with is that this is a topic where I am actually going to share a relatively strong opinion. And I'm also going to share how I got to this relatively strong opinion. And I'm saying this up front because it's actually not my usual style. I am usually very much in the grey area on things. I don't particularly like absolutes in my life, but this particular topic I'm pretty absolute on. You know, I'm pretty much, this is one hill that I'm pretty willing to die on. And I am going to say that this is a topic that a lot of people find really controversial. A lot of people find it really emotive. They get quite heated over it. And so I'm going to suggest that while you're listening, it is highly likely that you're going to feel one of two things, and maybe even both. But it's highly likely that as you're listening, you are either going to feel quite defensive as you're listening, or that you're going to feel quite maybe vindicated is the best word. You're going to feel like, yeah, that's right. You've got it. And I want to challenge you, if you do feel either or both of these ways, to just kind of be aware of it and see if you can push that to the side. And I say that because that tends to be where these conversations go, and neither of those two states are particularly helpful. So probably more to the people who might feel defensive about this, I'm going to say this to you. I now have a very strong opinion on this. I, however, do not judge the people who do not share my strong opinion. I do not judge you if you disagree with me. I do not judge you if you are challenged or triggered by this, because I get it. I have been you. Every single thing that I'm about to say, I have done 20 times over. I've justified it to myself 20 times over. I've believed it was right. I've believed it was good. I've believed all of those sorts of things. And I don't judge my past self for that. And so I am not judging you. I really am not. You do you, and you follow your own journey, and that is totally fine. All I'm going to say with this episode is that this is my opinion, and I'm going to show you how I reached that. And I'm kind of hoping that if you are sitting on the fence, maybe that you will take what I'm saying into consideration when you're making decisions with your horses. Okay, so that was a long intro, long preface. Long lead in, and I still haven't actually just said what I'm going to be talking about. So with all of that finally done, today's topic is the use of gadgets or training aids. And again, I said gadgets, and it sounds a little bit judgmental, but training aids in an attempt to change our horse's way of going. So I said I had a strong opinion. This is my strong opinion. Any piece of equipment that prevents your horse from raising their head, and I'm not, you notice here, I'm not saying raising their head to a certain degree or raising their head past a certain point. I'm just saying raising their head. Anything that prevents your horse from raising their head is probably going to have cons that well and truly outweigh the pros. I personally don't believe that they are a good practice. I don't think they're a good thing to use. I don't think that they work the way that we tell ourselves that they do. I don't think that they have benefits long term. And to be honest, I don't think they have benefits short term, but I really think that in the long term, they do more harm than good. And I believe that having been someone who has used them for years on multiple horses in multiple different ways, believing that I was doing the right thing, believing that I was good, and for multiple different reasons why I actually use them, which I'll go into. So when I'm talking about these pieces of equipment, what I'm specifically, you know, to help give you an idea, what I'm talking about is things like side reins, chambons, those Pessoa training system things, draw reins, literally market harbourers even, literally anything that restricts the horse from being able to raise their head. And I'll add into that standing martingales and poorly fitted running martingales. And because I've made that particular distinction with the running martingales, I'm going to explain what I mean. I don't have a problem with running martingales that are fitted to the length where they literally just prevent the horse you are riding from breaking your nose. They do not, if they are fitted correctly, the horse can raise its head. They can raise their head very, very high. The only thing that they cannot do with correctly fitted running martingales is essentially turn their face upside down. And you know what? Like if they're hitting that running martingale and they're trying to turn their face upside down, I think that does say that you have a training thing that you need to work on. But I'm not against using them, because in the same way that I'm not against using nose bands, and that's a topic for a different day, I'm not against using things that improve rider safety without adversely affecting equine well-being. So I'm not against running martingales that are correctly fitted. I am against short running martingales, and I am against the other things that I've mentioned. So first of all, I want to start by saying, yes, I have used every single one of these things, bar the standing martingale, but I did used to work for polo people, so they did use the standing martingale. I haven't actually personally used one, so there you go. So I was taught to use all of these things. So the reason, here's the short answer reason why I have used them in the past, is because I was taught to. I was taught to by people who most definitely had my best interest at heart. I was taught to use them by people who I love, who I respect, who I'm incredibly grateful to, who I have nothing but respect and admiration for. And I'm using the present tense here because it's still very, very true. I absolutely adore these people, and I know that they absolutely had my best interests at heart when they were suggesting that I use this particular equipment. 100%. I trusted them wholeheartedly. I still trust them, but I just won't use this. So, number one reason why I use them is because of that. So, for example, with the side reins, the reason that I was taught to use side reins is to teach a horse to go into a contact, to have the side reins so that they mimic the contact on each side of the mouth from the rider. They help show the horse how to stay in a particular frame with a contact that is steady. They are useful on the lunge. I was actually taught in my coaching that you're supposed to lunge people with them, but everyone else taught me not to. I was taught to basically only use them on the lunge. Sometimes that was both side reins, sometimes that was one. I was never taught to have them short. I was always taught to have them, you know, at a reasonable length where the horse wasn't overbent. I was taught to introduce them slowly to the horses. I was taught that they can be used to strengthen the muscles that the horse needs in order to keep that round frame, in order to work over the back, that they were useful because you could lunge the horse and, you know, send them forward into that contact and teach them how to take up that contact with a nice active hind leg, and how that would help them. That is why I was taught to use side reins. In the case of the chambon, I was taught to use the chambon in a way where it basically just asked the horse to keep the pole lower without pulling the nose in. And so I was taught to use that purely to affect the outline of the horse. So the idea was that they would lower their pole and stretch, and stretch out with their nose because the nose wasn't being pulled in by something like side reins, and they would therefore again build those muscles over their back, over their top line, and learn how to go in a different frame and therefore be more able to go in that frame and carry themselves and be more through over the back while riding. What was next after that? Draw reins. I've used draw reins. So I used draw reins, to be honest, very rarely. The main time that I used it was actually with something like training canter transitions, where the horse was basically in that round frame in trot and in canter and in walk. But from the transition to trot to canter, in this particular horse that I'm thinking of, they really struggled through that canter transition. And genuinely, you know, the way that I said it and the way that I was taught was, it's like, oh, he genuinely struggles to, he has connected like lifting his head with the canter transition, and so he thinks that's what he has to do and that it's part of it, and he doesn't understand that he can actually stay around and do a canter transition. And so the idea was to use the draw reins for a handful of rides, two or three rides, purely to work on those canter transitions. That was the only time that they were kind of picked up, and to teach the horse how to pick up canter whilst being round. Then we had, what do we have after draw reins? Then we had Market Harbour. So Market Harbour, I basically only saw them used on school horses, and again it was for that kind of like that safety aspect, like having the running martingale, the idea being that they act like draw reins but they are less, you can shorten them less, they're safer to use in the sense that you can't really crank them in like you can with draw reins. They only, you know, go to a particular setting, and so therefore the idea is that they're safe for riders who maybe wouldn't be capable of using draw reins but maybe need that help to keep the horse's head lower and therefore maintain their control with that horse. And I apologize that my voice is getting worse, but we're going to stick with this. I can do it. I just sound like I'm really emotional about this particular topic. And then you have standing martingales. And standing martingales, again, like I say, I've not actually used them and I've not been taught to use them. But again, in polo, it is a proposed safety feature to prevent the horses getting their heads too high, to have that bit of stability, that sort of thing. So all of these things, oh, and the Passoa training system, I have never personally been taught to use them, but the reason why they are marketed is because the idea is that they act a bit like your side reins, a combination probably of your side reins and your chambon, to lower the horse's head, but then they have that piece that goes around the horse's back end and it's supposed to drive the horse forward. So the idea is that, you know, if they pull in front, it pulls them from behind and they learn how to use their back end to come through from behind in a rounder frame. Now, here is why I don't believe in using them anymore. Even though I have on many horses over many years for many different reasons, and I have used all of the reasons why I said, and I've even had a couple of others as well, to be honest. And the reason I no longer believe in them at all is twofold. One is that I have never seen them used without detrimental effect to the horse. Never. And I will say that I have known horses that have died as a result of flipping over because of these sorts of things. I have also ridden horses and had horses in training where I can quite honestly say that the times that I have feared for my life were horses that we were trying to untrain after they had been ridden in draw reins. And they, I'm thinking of two horses in particular, and they were terrifying. I have actually very, very rarely been more scared on a horse than riding those horses. And so for that reason, I'm pretty against them. And then the other reason is, yeah, I have never seen it not be detrimental to the horse. That was my first reason. I'm sorry. I am sick. My second reason was that I've discovered that there are better ways of doing it. There are ways of doing it that don't result in tying the horse's head down. There are ways that we can train horses to go in particular postures without having to tie the horse's head down by either changing the horse's balance, improving the horse's balance so that they actually can go in that posture, because believe it or not, usually the reason why they don't go in that posture is because they can't, because they're physically not strong enough, because they're not physically balanced enough. Or the other reason, if they can, is because they don't understand it. We haven't actually taught them. But the main thing that I want to talk about is those detrimental effects to the horse. So here are some of the reasons why it has a detrimental effect to the horse. So, you know, we always talk about like learned helplessness or horses being shut down. That's definitely a factor. What we're essentially doing is we are putting a restriction on the horse and giving them absolutely no place to go other than the direction that we want. And so if we go back to that, you know, that they either don't understand or more likely that they physically can't, there is no way for them to get out of what we have put them in. There is no way. And the way that I explain this is, if you were, I don't know, so if you were told to hold a plate on your hand and for some reason it's like, you cannot, I'm not letting you put your hand down and I'm not letting you let go of the plate. And you just have to stay there. And that plate's heavy. And it's like, what's going to happen is, if you can imagine, you're holding a heavy plate. Depending on how you are, it's like either your wrist is going to get really sore, most likely your arm is going to get really sore, your shoulder's probably going to cramp up, it's actually going to make your neck pretty sore. You're going to try and shift around and shift your weight around so that you can try and relieve some of that. You're going to try and, you know, prop yourself up with the other hand. You're going to try and shift your weight around, because at some point it's actually going to start hurting your lower back as well. And if you can think, and you're just going to be left like that, and there is no, you are not allowed, you cannot physically put the plate down. You cannot physically lower your arm. I've prevented that. We don't know how, maybe a force field or something, but I've prevented that. You cannot get out of that particular thing. And if you can just imagine, you know, like all it is holding a plate, right? It's something you can do. You can hold a plate. You can even hold a heavy plate. You can probably even hold it for a few minutes and that's totally fine. But can you imagine if you've carried something heavy, can you imagine how much that is going to hurt and how quickly? And I've also just given you the second clue of why it's detrimental. So not only is it inescapable, but the thing is that when you're in that position, you are going to try and do everything you possibly can to kind of negotiate with it, to wriggle out of it. So like I said, you are going to try and, you know, prop up your hand with your other arm with your other hand. You're going to try and wriggle out of it. You're going to try and, you know, shift around on your feet to ease up your lower back, to ease up your shoulders. You're probably going to start playing around with your jaw because that's going to hurt. You're going to wriggle your fingers because they're going to get sore. You're going to try everything to wriggle out from under this pressure that I've put on you, and you're not going to be able to. And to me, this is what we do when we have these devices, regardless of what they are. The overarching feature in all of them is that they ask the horse to keep their head low, which is great, but they ask the horse to keep their head low, and then we ask them to, you know, trot or canter or whatever, move in some way with their head low. So the only thing that we've stipulated is that they cannot lift their head. If their muscles are not built in a way where it is comfortable for them to carry their head and their neck in that particular position, they are going to wriggle. They're going to compensate. So in the case of side reins, it's like they're either going to learn to lean on the bit or they're going to learn to sit behind it to try and stay away from it. They're going to get crooked. They're going to get, you know, they're going to go slower. Then they're going to go faster. Then they're going to fall in. Then they're going to fall out. Then they're going to make little tiny micro changes that we can't even see. because it's all of this wriggling, trying to get away from the pressure that they can't escape, trying to kind of fit underneath that and fit within the confinement that we've placed on them. Which is why I think it's a little bit laughable to think that we go, oh, we just tie the horse's head down and drive them forward, and that will make the hind end build power. They'll build muscle over their back and they'll, you know, develop this beautiful frame that we're looking at. And it's kind of hilarious that, you know, we always talk about, you know, riding from the front to the back, riding the hind leg, riding the this, riding the that, whatever. But then we think that we can tie the head down and that's going to help the back end. It doesn't go that way. All that happens is we teach our horses to try and compensate, try and wriggle, try and survive, basically. And all they're doing is over fatiguing muscles that are not used to being worked, which, I don't know, have you ever overdone it with some exercise? Like, how sore are you the next day? How much does that not then help if you've really overdone it and you go back to the gym and you try and do exactly the same exercise again, and then you really overdo it that day and you try and do exactly the same exercise again? Because this is what we do as well, right? We hold them in a posture that they're not used to, and we know they're not used to it because if they were used to it, we wouldn't be trying to use these contraptions to keep their head down. We try and hold them in a posture that they're not used to, and then we say stay there. And the horse has no way of telling us when it's too much. Well, they try, but they have no real way. And they're obliging creatures. They try and go along with it as well. So we say, stay there. So we push them way past what they're actually capable of. Way past that, you know, quote, good sore that you get at the gym and into actual injury. And then we do it tomorrow. And then we do it the next day. And then we do it the next day. And then we do it the next day. And we're not building the muscles that we want. And I say this from the perspective of, A, I've been a rider who's had to try and rebuild these horses mentally and physically and emotionally after having this sort of thing, including my own. I have also been the body worker who, it's like, yeah, I can look at a horse and I can pick it. I've also been a coach where people will describe a particular behavior and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, odds are I'd put money on, you know, the horse has had this piece of equipment on, and they'll go, oh yeah, he has. Like, yeah, I can see it. I can pick it. I can pick it by the particular behaviors. And the problem is as well, and this is probably more draw reins than anything else. To me, it's like we use draw reins to cover up a problem. And here's the problem with that. Draw reins to me are like that thing we say with dogs where you never punish the growl, because then the dog skips the growl and goes straight to the bite. And this is what I see happen in draw reins, is it's like it cuts out every method of communication that the horse has prior. So they were lifting their head for a reason, either because they couldn't balance or because they were in pain or because they didn't understand or because they, you know, whatever. They were lifting their head for a reason. And then we say, okay, you can't do that. So they keep their head down and they try and wriggle and they try and do this. But no, we make them keep going forward. Like, no, you're not allowed to get behind the leg. You have to go forward. No, you're not allowed to get crooked. You have to go straight. So they do all of these things and we keep cutting off their lines of communication. And here's what I see happen with horses that are ridden in draw reins, is that they do this thing, and it's very distinctive, where they go along and they get stressed. And when they get stressed, they start trying to lift their head against the draw reins. And then when they can't lift their head, they start leaping in the air. And I mean leaping. Like, I'm not talking about cute leaping. I'm talking about terrifying leaping. Because it is nonsensical. You cannot talk to these horses once they get to that particular stage. And the problem is that you take the draw reins off and they still do it. You take the draw reins off, and when they get fast and they get stressed, you use the reins and they bring their nose to their chest and then they panic. And it's without fail. It's like, I can pick it. And I can tell you without fail that that is the end of the road. That's how that ends. I can tell you that. That's how that ends. I can tell you that with side reins, how that ends is a horse that either doesn't go into the contact or leans on the reins. That's how that ends. Or they end up dead. But that's a side note, no, much more depressing topic. But that's how that ends. Chambon, how does it end? Your horse ends up with a sore pole and a sore SI. And you end up getting this body worker and you can't figure out why your horse has this sore pole and this sore SI and they're not building the muscle in their top line and they're not going correctly and they are sore all of the time and then they're probably cranky and then their balance is probably off and so therefore they're probably more crooked. That's how that ends. Don't even start me on the ones where you put the reins between their front legs and then over their back because that's just a whole other thing that I'm not even getting into. The Pessoa system, guess what it does? It's a great idea, right? It's like, cool, the horse's head is lower, but it's in this really beautiful, like, you know, I don't know, flexy, weird side rein, draw rein, you know, combo thing. And it's great because it's got the thing from behind. So it does actually drive them from behind. The problem is that the thing behind is attached to the mouth. And they use their hind legs separately. So as one leg goes back, the other leg goes forward. So what you've essentially done is you just seesawing on the horse's mouth, which, you know, I spend a lot of time teaching riders not to seesaw on their horse's mouth because, again, we're going, like, it's fake. Yeah, sure, the nose will come down, but that means absolutely nothing. They don't end well. These horses do not get better. They do not. Yeah, maybe to start off with, you'll see some improvement. Maybe, yes. Maybe it'll be like, oh, look, my horse is rounder. Yeah, cool. Maybe. Maybe if you're lucky, maybe they will work a little bit more correctly. Maybe they'll develop a little bit of back muscle. Maybe. I see it in like 10% of the cases. Maybe they will. Odds are they won't. And even if they do, for a while, I can tell you that they haven't learnt the lesson that you think they're going to learn. And I can tell you what I've just said is how it ends. That's how that story ends when you play it all the way through. And I can tell you that. And I can tell you of so many horses that have ended up dangerous, sold as dangerous, labeled as dangerous, because they've had these particular things used. That's why I have strong opinions on this. And that is why this is a hill that I'm willing to die on, is because I know how it ends. And I know how it ends because I've done it and I've been there and I've pushed them to that point. And I've also been the one who's then had to try and train them out of it, or had to try and work with their human to get them out of it, or had to be the body worker trying to work on all of those compensations that they developed while they were trying to wriggle their way out of an inescapable situation. I've done it. I know where that ends. And so I know that if you're feeling, I said at the beginning, you might feel defensive or you might feel vindicated. Okay, so if you're feeling defensive, if what I've said, if you've either gone into justification, oh, but I don't use it that way. I have my side reins really loose. No, my horse is getting better. Yeah, but I only use, you know, I have really good hands for draw reins. Yeah, but like my Chambon's, it's really loose. Whatever you use, whatever. If you're really defensive about it, that's fine. Like I said, I've been there and I've justified it. I've justified it so many times. So many times over. But the thing is, and the other justification that I always hear, like with the side reins, is, oh, but look at the classical riding schools. You know, look at the riding school in Vienna. They use side reins, and they do. Can I ask you, do you really think you have the skills and the training and the ability, and that your horse has been brought up from day one in an environment and in a training thing like those horses, that you are as skilled, as well-trained, as talented as one of those riders? Do you really think that? Because let's face it, I'm not. I'm sorry if you're listening to me. You're probably not. I hate to say it. I'm sorry if you are, but you're probably not. And if you are, and you're listening to me, that's awesome. Well done, you. But if you are, then you can tell me why you're using them. And you can tell me how you introduced them. And you can show me the evidence that your horse has gotten better. But that's like less than 0.00000000001% of horses and riders where that honestly ends well. And how many of those horses don't even end up kind of making it all the way through, and how many riders don't ever get to that point. So if you are justifying, if you are feeling defensive, if you're feeling attacked, if you feel like I'm completely wrong and out of line, that's okay. I get it. I can't remember how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I, 10 years ago, maybe even less, would have been you. I would have listened to this and I would have been like, yeah, but no, I know what I'm doing and I use them differently and this is why I was taught and whatever. That's fine. I would have said, yeah, my horse is getting better. It's fine. I get it. It's okay. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not even asking you to. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm not asking you to change what you're doing. Thank you so much for listening all the way through. And I really, really, really appreciate that. And I thank you so much because I really think that if you are feeling defensive and you are feeling called out, I think you've been really brave to listen this far through to something that doesn't agree with your particular opinion. And I think, you know, in that, you really are one of the minority because there is less and less people in the world who are willing to listen to opinions that don't match their own. So well done. I really appreciate that from you. Thank you so, so much. To the others who maybe are feeling vindicated, who are maybe going, yeah, that's right, blah, 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 I hear this all the time, we're causing all these terrible problems. Okay. So here's the thing. I do not support the holier-than-thou approach to life. As I've just said, I've used all of these. I've believed in it. I've done it to multiple horses for multiple periods of time, for multiple reasons, with multiple justifications. I'm not saying that I am better. I'm not saying that I'm further along. I'm not saying anything about the people who are currently doing this. And I'm just going to say, I want you also to challenge, why do you need me to back up something that you believe so strongly in? Because if you are so sure of yourself and you are so sure that you are right and you're so sure of all of that sort of stuff, can you just be sure? That's great. Good for you. I think half of the problems when it comes to equine welfare is that we let ourselves get caught up by our emotions. We feel like we are 100% in the right and we feel that everyone else is wrong. And particularly as we are becoming more well-learned about horse welfare and about things like this, those who sit on the quote, new, right, improved, evidence-based side of the fence get into this holier than thou thing, and they make other people feel judged and they make other people feel defensive. And what we actually do is we push people further into the margins, and I don't think it helps. I think it helps to keep an open mind. I think it helps to know that everyone's at a different point on their journey. I think it helps to remember that every single person is trying to do their absolute best for themselves and for their horses, that they have their horse's best interests at heart. And for that, they're awesome. Well done. And if you are feeling that holier than thou, that's great. I'm really glad that you agree with me and I like that for you. But just remember that usually that holier than thou feeling, that self-righteousness comes up because there's a little bit of shame there. There's a little bit of insecurity. There's a little bit of like, see, I'm right about this, which is actually code for I'm really scared that I'm not right about something else, or I'm really scared that I'm going to be called out about something else. And that's okay. I get that too. I get that feeling. I get the feeling of, you know, I get feelings of defensiveness, and I get feelings of, you know, self-righteousness, and that's fine. That's why I said at the beginning, can we please just be aware of it? So if you have listened to this, thank you so, so much. Thank you for listening to my rant. I hope that it's given you something to think about. And I apologize for the voice. I apologize for the rant. I hope that you enjoyed it anyway. If you would like to keep up with my work or anything that I have coming up, I'm at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook and Instagram, and the website is synergyandfreedom.com. I'm also, on that note of, you know, balance and whatnot, I'm actually running my Equine Body Balance program again. So it's an online Zoom course. This is Equine Body Balance 2.0. So it's actually not the same program as last time. It's a different one. We're doing different exercises, looking at different things. Same format, same name, but different program. So if that's something you want to do, it's only $50. It's a 6-week live Zoom program. And yeah, you can find out about that on my Facebook page at Synergy and Freedom. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fabulous week.